Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at something a little different. We're going back in time to 1994.
The 90s.
Before the internet, really.
Before the internet, as we know it.
As we know it. And we're going to be taking a look at this PDF, simply titled, Reiskar Ust-Deutschland.pdf.
Which translates to?
Trip to East Germany.
Trip to East Germany, yeah.
A little bit ironic, considering that this trip goes way beyond East Germany.
Yeah, it's quite the adventure, as we'll see.
And you, the listener, are in the world of carpets.
Okay.
Carpet fiber research. You're trying to come up with this new spinning machine.
A spinning machine that's going to change the world of carpets.
And improve the quality and the efficiency.
Yeah, you've got to keep up with the times. You can't be using old technology if you want to make the best carpets out there. So this is the story of finding that new machine.
First stop, Scotland, July 1994.
Oh.
To test out this machine at a university. And the travelogue here really paints a picture. I mean, they're talking about a near-empty cafeteria with simple Kapuzinerschnitzels.
Wow, bringing back memories.
A castle-like hotel with hosts straight out of Fawlty Towers.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, a luxurious room overlooking the River Tweed.
The historic River Tweed.
A hub for textile mills back in the day.
So really going back to the roots of textiles here.
But ultimately unsuccessful trip. The machine's not quite right.
So what happens when the machine you need doesn't exist yet?
Well, in this case, a custom-built machine is manufactured all the way in Melbourne, Florida.
Oh, wow. Talk about going the distance for the perfect equipment.
And you're tasked with going there for the inspection before it's shipped over.
It's a big responsibility, right? I mean, back then, this wasn't just a hop, skip, and a jump across the pond. This was a major undertaking.
Especially before the internet and cell phones and all that.
Oh, yeah. You really had to be on top of your game with logistics and communication. No room for error.
And you're joined by none other than Bill Baker, the American project leader from Hills the Machines Manufacturer.
Bill Baker, the man with a plan.
And, you know, Bill is very eager to go visit a winder manufacturer near Frankfurt.
Of course, gotta make the most of the trip, right? Two birds, one stone.
While he's there, so you're aiming for a Wednesday departure, but Bill is more...
Time is money. Let's go.
Yeah, let's just go.
I love that energy.
A little bit of a clash of cultures there.
Oh, absolutely. But hey, sometimes you need that push to get things moving.
So you end up sprinting through Schiphol Airport.
Making a mad dash for the gate.
They catch your flight and you're the first passenger aboard this brand new Fokker 100 aircraft.
Woo, a brand new plane. You'd think that guarantees a smooth journey.
You would think.
But as we know, even the newest technology can have its hiccups.
Indeed. Even a brand new plane is subject to delay.
It's inevitable, isn't it? Delays are just a part of travel, no matter how well you plan.
So you land in Frankfurt and your rental car is a Nissan Primera.
Ah, the Nissan Primera. Not exactly known for its luxury or speed.
Described here as a Beschutbus or Biscuit 10.
I can just picture it. No, that's a visual.
And you're navigating the Autobahn with no GPS, no Google Maps, just a paper map.
Talk about old school. I can't even imagine trying to navigate a foreign country without my phone these days.
And sure enough, you miss a highway sign.
Oh, no.
Thanks to a truck, and you end up lost in downtown Frankfurt for 50 kilometers.
50 kilometers. Oh, man. That's got to be frustrating.
You finally spot a castle sign offering some hope, but you're not really sure if you're going the right way.
That uncertainty must have been nerve-wracking. Not knowing if you're on the right track and having to rely on your gut and a paper map. Talk about stressful.
Then you run into the classic Autobahn road construction.
Of course. The one constant in life is road construction.
Bringing the highway down to a single lane.
Adding insult to injury.
But there is a silver lining.
Oh. Tell me more.
The traffic comes to a complete standstill thanks to an accident.
Oh, no. Hopefully no one was hurt.
Caused by a careless Mercedes driver.
Figures.
But this gives you a chance to get out, stretch your legs, and you even have some homemade egg sandwiches.
See? Every cloud has a silver lining, forced to enjoy a little roadside picnic.
And then you finally get to your destination and you realize Bill was stuck in the same traffic jam a few kilometers ahead.
Oh, the irony, all that rushing and he ends up in the same predicament. The universe has a funny way of working things out, doesn't it?
After all that, the meeting at SOM, the winder manufacturer, is pretty straightforward. The president director looks like he came out of a Wakecamp catalog.
I can picture it perfectly.
And the meeting is conducted smoothly in both German and English.
That's impressive, especially back then when language barriers could be a real obstacle in business dealings.
But your travel woes are far from over. The return trip to Frankfurt is another series of unfortunate events.
Oh boy. Sounds like you're in for another wild ride. Let's hear it.
You get stuck in another traffic jam.
Another one.
This time caused by a flat tire and scattered metal debris.
Oh, man. That Autobahn sounds like a real test of patience.
And then when you get to the Frankfurt airport, you find out that Tor 15, your gate is closed.
Well, that's just great. As if the traffic wasn't bad enough, now you have to deal with the closed gate.
And then you get trapped in the wrong parking garage.
The wrong parking garage. How does that even happen?
And you have this back and forth with the airport staff over the intercom, with them repeatedly saying, "Dann sind Sie falsch."
You are wrong. Oh, that's got to be frustrating. Just a disembodied voice telling you you're wrong over and over again.
And then you have a run-in with some unhelpful airport staff on a moped.
A moped? At the airport? That's a new one.
And they're really no help at all. Finally, you make it back to the Hertz counter to return the biscuit tin.
I bet you were happy to see that cargo.
And the travelogue ends with you arriving home and finding that even a simple beer tastes wonderful.
Oh, I can imagine. After that ordeal, even the simplest things would taste amazing. It's like a reset button for your palate.
It makes you realize how much we take for granted today with the ease of travel and technology.
Absolutely. It's easy to forget how much effort and resilience it took to navigate the world back then. This travelogue is a great reminder of that.
I mean, booking a flight, finding a hotel, navigating a foreign city, it's all just a few clicks away.
It really makes you appreciate how far we've come in terms of technology, right? I mean, can you imagine having to plan a trip like this without the internet, without Google Maps, without instant communication? It boggles the mind.
And, you know, it wasn't just about logistics. It's also about the human element, right? All the conversations, the negotiations, the chance encounters that were just part and parcel of traveling back then.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. You couldn't just rely on an app to translate a phrase or find your way around. You had to actually engage with people, use your language skills, read body language, build rapport. It was a completely different skill set.
And you had to rely on the kindness of strangers to a certain extent.
Oh, totally. Like when you were lost in Frankfurt, you probably had to ask for directions, right? Or when you were stuck in traffic, you might have chatted with the people in the cars next to you. It was a much more social experience.
And I think that forced people to be more present in the moment. You know, without the distraction of phones and emails, you were really focused on the task at hand and the people around you.
Like a world moved at a slower pace, which allowed for more thoughtful interactions and deeper connections.
So while we might marvel at the traveler's resilience and problem-solving skills, I think it's also important to acknowledge the role of human connection in facilitating this journey.
Totally agree. It wasn't just about conquering logistical hurdles. It was about navigating the social landscape, building bridges, relying on the goodwill of others.
Which brings us to a pretty interesting question. Have we lost something in our transition to this hyper-connected world? Has the ease and efficiency of modern technology come at the expense of those valuable human connections?
It's a question worth asking, for sure. I mean, on one hand, technology has made our lives undeniably easier and more efficient. But have we become so reliant on it that we've forgotten how to connect with people on a deeper level?
Have we lost the art of conversation, the ability to build rapport without the aid of a screen?
I think it's all about finding a balance, right? We don't want to romanticize the past or dismiss the incredible benefits of technology, but maybe this travelogue serves as a reminder to be more mindful of how we use technology and to make a conscious effort to cultivate those meaningful human connections that are so essential to a fulfilling life, both personally and professionally.
So it's not just about marveling at the challenges of pre-internet travel.
Right. It's about recognizing the resourcefulness, the adaptability, and the importance of human connection that were woven into the fabric of that era.
And maybe it's about taking those lessons and incorporating them into our own modern day journeys.
Exactly. Maybe it's about putting down the phone more often, engaging in genuine conversations, embracing the unexpected detours that life throws our way.
Because ultimately, those are the things that make a journey truly memorable, right? The connections we make, the experiences we share, the moments of serendipity that we stumble upon.
I think so. And who knows, maybe by embracing a little bit of that old school traveler spirit, we can rediscover the beauty of slow travel, the power of human connection, and the joy of simply being present in the moment.
That's a great thought. And with that, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into this fascinating travelogue. But the conversation doesn't have to end here.
No, definitely not. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this. What resonated with you most from this journey back to 1994? Did it evoke a sense of nostalgia? Or are you firmly planted in the convenience of the present?
And most importantly, how can you bring a little bit of that old school traveler spirit into your own life? Whether it's a cross-continental trip or simply exploring a new neighborhood in your own city, how can you embrace the unexpected, foster meaningful connections, and savor those small moments of joy that make a journey truly memorable? It's inspiring, isn't it? Just to see how they handled everything that was thrown at them.
It really makes you think about problem solving in a different light. You know, no quick fixes, no instant answers, just pure grit and determination.
And maybe a little bit of luck.
Oh, definitely. Luck always plays a role. But I think it's more about the mindset, you know, being open to the unexpected, being willing to adapt, not getting flustered when things don't go according to plan.
I think that's where the disconnect from the digital world really comes into play. You're forced to be more present in the moment more aware of your surroundings, more resourceful.
Absolutely. There's no escaping into your phone or checking social media for a quick distraction. You have to face the challenge head on. And I think that can be incredibly empowering.
It's like you're forced to tap into a different part of your brain.
Exactly. The part that's creative and intuitive. The part that's not afraid to ask for help or try something new.
And that's what I think we can learn from this travelogue. It's not just about the challenges of pre-internet travel. It's about rediscovering those innate human skills that we've maybe let atrophy a bit in our modern world.
It's about remembering that we're capable of so much more than we often give ourselves credit for.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of 1994, let's take those lessons with us.
Let's be more mindful of our technology use, more present in our interactions, more open to the unexpected.
Let's embrace the detours, celebrate the serendipitous moments, and remember that sometimes the greatest adventures are the ones we don't plan.
Beautifully said. And on that note, thanks for joining us on this journey back in time. We hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have.
And until next time, happy travels, everyone.